The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading flash briefings for multiple sclerosis. Here's an article by Somi Igberner. Stopping Fingolimod, Gilenia for Pregnancy Raises Relapse Risk. Women with relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis who suspend their use of Fingolimod, sold as Gilenia, among others, to conceive or during the early stages of pregnancy, have a significantly higher risk of relapse during and after pregnancy, a new study finds. Stopping Fingolimod resulted in a greater proportion of women developing new or enlarging lesions, as well as lesions with active inflammation, the results showed. In fact, 22% of the participants experienced relapses during pregnancy, while 44% of the women had them afterward, according to the researchers. In our study, we observed significant disease reactivation during pregnancy, mostly in the first trimester and after delivery, the researchers wrote. Women who discontinued Fingolimod to become pregnant need to be closely monitored given the risk of disease reactivation, they added. The study, Disease Reactivation After Fingolimod Discontinuation in Pregnant Multiple Sclerosis Patients, was published in the journal Neurotherapeutics. MS is most common in women of reproductive age, and evidence shows that many disease-modifying therapies, or DMTs, are harmful for women who want to conceive, are pregnant, or are breastfeeding. However, stopping DMTs such as Fingolimod, marketed as Gilenia, and as generics, or Tysabri, natalizumab, can cause severe relapses. Scientists, to date, have limited knowledge about how frequently relapses occur in women who suspend Fingolimod treatment due to planned or unplanned pregnancies. They also are unsure of the factors that predict relapses once Fingolimod treatment is stopped. Understanding these factors could help in counseling women with MS who intend to become pregnant or have an unplanned pregnancy. Now to learn more. A team of researchers in Italy investigated the frequency and predictors of relapses in women with relapsing remitting MS who stopped Fingolimod to plan a pregnancy or upon finding out they were pregnant. The study took place at four Italian centers between 2013 and 2019. A total of 27 women with a median age of 29 were included in the study. They had been diagnosed with MS a median of 9.1 years before stopping Fingolimod and had used the medication for a median of 2.9 years. Before Fingolimod, these patients had experienced a mean of 1.3 relapses per year, but this measure, called an annualized relapse rate, or ARR, dropped to 0.2 during Fingolimod treatment. Of note, ARR was only 0.04 during the last year of treatment, with just one woman experiencing a relapse. During pregnancy, however, six women experienced a total of 10 relapses. The mean ARR during pregnancy, 0.49, was significantly higher than in the last year before pregnancy. Most relapses occurred in the first trimester, with four women experiencing six relapses. Yet, relapse rates throughout pregnancy remain significantly lower than the ARR before Fingolimod's start. In the first year after delivery, 14 women experienced a total of 18 relapses, and all six women who relapsed during pregnancy had at least one relapse in that period. Similar to the pregnancy period, the mean ARR in the first year after delivery, 0.67, was also significantly greater than that reported in the last year before pregnancy. In the combined period of pregnancy and first year after delivery, the mean ARR was 0.62, which was also significantly higher than the mean ARR reported in the last year before pregnancy. However, it was considerably lower than the mean ARR reported before the women started Fingolimod treatment. A couple of months after delivery, more women, 63% versus 30%, showed new or enlarging brain lesions on brain MRIs, as compared with their radiological assessments before pregnancy. Gadolinium-enhancing lesions, which are those with ongoing inflammation, also were more frequent, 44% versus 0%. Both lesion types were found more often in patients who relapsed after discontinuing fingolimod. According to the researchers, pregnancy planning potentially exposes women to an extended period without DMTs, which increases relapse risk. In this group, 11 women had planned their pregnancies and stopped using the therapy for a mean of 88 days, while the remaining 16 had unplanned pregnancies. Interestingly, there were no differences across both groups in terms of relapse rates or brain lesions. Of the 27 women who became pregnant, 26 gave birth after a mean of 38.2 weeks. Of note, a normal pregnancy is about 280 days or 40 weeks, though babies are considered full-term after 37 weeks. One planned pregnancy resulted in a miscarriage at 10 weeks. While 16 pregnancies were unplanned, and the unborn babies were inadvertently exposed to fingolimod, all of the fetuses developed normally with no deaths. All planned pregnancies, save one, also resulted in healthy, live fetuses. After delivery, 21 women resumed fingolimod while 6 switched to other treatments. The women resumed treatment after a mean duration of 132 days, or about 4.5 months. Factors like age, body mass index, disease duration, disability scores, ARR before fingolimod treatment, and before pregnancy, or MRI activity, did not significantly associate with relapses during pregnancy. However, women who experienced relapses during pregnancy were significantly more likely to relapse after delivery. The researchers noted some limitations, including the small sample size and the retrospective design. Still, the study provides valuable information to guide women taking fingolimod who plan a pregnancy or become pregnant while using the drug. Clinicians should alert women with MS on fingolimod treatment who are planning to conceive about the possibility of increased disease activity after fingolimod discontinuation, even if adequate prolonged control of disease activity has been achieved with therapy, the researchers wrote. Furthermore, women who relapse during pregnancy should also consider resuming highly effective disease-modifying therapies soon after delivery to lower the risk of future relapses, the researchers said. Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Jamie Hughes, A Life in Letters. Once more with feeling, how singing can benefit MS patients. A few weekends ago, I had what I've described as a mini midlife crisis. Things with my kids were a mess. My husband was out of town again to help with a building project on the family farm. And surrounded by the mess and bother of everyday life, I couldn't help but ask myself, is this all there is until the end? Am I just destined to fade into obscurity and irrelevancy? But I'm me. And I don't tend to sit in puddles of self-loathing for very long. I'm a doer, a fixer, a person who takes care of problems. I began asking myself what I could do to combat these feelings. What could I do to challenge myself that was manageable on top of everything else I have to do in this life? As always, I turned to books for answers and came across Midlife, A Philosophical Guide by Kiran Sethia. He offers several excellent observations. First, he writes, you have to care about something other than yourself if you want to stave off a true midlife crisis. Also, you must make room for activities with existential value. The second one seemed to be where I was lacking. Well, picking my instrument, the French horn, up again didn't seem workable. That thing takes so much time, and I barely had the bandwidth for it in college and when I was a newlywed sans kids. But music seemed like a great option, especially for an MS patient like me. I've always enjoyed singing and have performed as part of several groups throughout my life, but I've never taken private lessons. Never had someone train me how to breathe properly and work on things like phrasing and diction. It seemed like a good fit. After all, I can sing anywhere, and I think I'll see some good results early on. That'll push me to keep going. I found a vocal coach nearby who works out of her home, and I've scheduled my first lesson. I'm very much looking forward to it. Though truthfully, I'm a wee bit nervous as well. It's one thing to sing for your family or in the shower where no one is listening. But to stand in front of a woman who was trained at Juilliard, well, that's a horse of a different color. I've chosen Annie Lennox's Wonderful as my audition piece. And I've been practicing every day for about a week. I'm hoping it goes well. If you're in the same boat, I cannot recommend music enough. Maybe you're not a singer, or as my granddad used to say, you can't carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it. That's just fine. Pick up an instrument. Guitars, ukuleles, and other stringed instruments are easy to get your hands on. Working with percussion instruments can also be great for hand-eye coordination and fine muscle movement. There are plenty of great instructors out there if you want to take up piano or even a brass or woodwind instrument. The options are limitless these days, especially with online lessons as an option. And the benefits really do outweigh any of the challenges that come with starting something new. According to the NAMM Foundation, music engages areas of the brain which are involved with paying attention, making predictions, and updating events in our memory. It also helps with memory and language skills. Opera North, an English opera company, lists several reasons singing is particularly vital for good health. Not only does it make you feel better, but it can also enhance lung function, allow you to de-stress, and even help with pain relief. It's also nice to be a member of a community, to share a passion with others who are like you. That's something we all really need after a year and a half of social distancing.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.